Today we continue our series, Grow Up, as we've been studying the book of James. We learned in week one that James grew up in the household of Jesus, but he was a major skeptic. He and his brothers and sisters didn't believe in Jesus as he was growing up. But something happened to James to change that, and we think it was when he encountered Jesus in the post-resurrection appearance recorded in 1 Corinthians 15, a little verse 7, and then he appeared to James. And Jesus changed his life, and he not only became a true believer, but he became a primary leader in the church in Jerusalem, and he wrote this letter that we know by the name James to Christians who were outside of Judea. They weren't able to come to Jerusalem to hear him teach, so he sent these primary teachings. And the theme of this book is he wants us to grow up in our faith. In the first week, we learned he said to grow up in trials and temptations. We all face trouble in this world, but he tells us that we need to grow up in our faith and we need to trust and obey God. And he mentions the temptations because often when we're facing trouble and difficulty in life, we're more susceptible to temptation. The next week, he encouraged us to grow up in our obedience. And he said, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. He says we need to accept God's word with humility and actually do what it says. Then we talked about growing up in love, and we talked about the fact that we are not to show favoritism. We are to welcome people to the church family, but Jesus doesn't want us to stay the way we are. He wants to transform us into someone more conforming to his image. And last week we talked about growing up in faith. And we talked about the fact that our actions make our faith complete. And so you got to have both faith and you got to have action to back it up. And that brings us to our message this week, which is about growing up in words. I want to see how many of you can finish this statement that was prevalent when I was a kid. Sticks and stones can, but how many of you believe that? Well, it is true, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can be really hurtful too. I don't know if you experienced this or not, but when I was in fourth grade, I moved to an intermediate school, and it was just on the heels of me becoming a Christian, and I was learning Bible lessons where Jesus was talking about not retaliating when people hit you. And there was a group of guys that found out that I didn't retaliate, and I got bullied, and it wasn't fun. But a lot of people experience that. But today, there's been a new kind of bullying that takes place, typically online, social media and the like. And people will say some very cruel things online that they would never say to your face. And it's created a new vocabulary word called cyberbullying. And I'm sure you may have seen some of the news stories about young people that were bullied to the point that they even committed suicide because of what people were saying about them online. And so in our message today, we're going to hear this encouragement from James that we need to grow up by watching what we say. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me today to James chapter 3. If you'd like to follow along in a chair Bible, this is on page 976. We're going to start with verse 1, but we will continue reading, so I encourage you to leave your Bibles open there. James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Now that kind of sounds strange, doesn't it? Not many of you should become teachers, but the truth is we need more teachers. So what's the deal? Well, it is a warning because teachers will be judged more strictly. Now, I want you to look at that, those words, more strictly. It means one day we're all going to be judged. We talked about that the other week, right? But teachers will be judged even more strictly because it's more important that you practice what you preach. Let's pick it up in verse 2. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Now, you know, one of the things that people really love about the book of James is they say, it's just so practical. It's just so easy to understand. And James gives us these rich pictures to understand how important the tongue is. Now, my daughter is a horse fanatic. She loved horses. She rode in high school. She rode competitively in college. And she loved being around horses. She learned that that bridle that you put on the horse's head contains a little bit that's in the horse's mouth. And when you pull on the reins, you can control that horse. Now, I love this picture of this big, strong, beautiful stallion. And, you know, horses don't naturally just let you ride on them. They got to be broke. But part of that process is learning to wear a saddle, but more importantly, wearing the bridle and the bit and being able to respond to it. But once a horse is trained, that massive horse can be under the control of the rider just by applying pressure with that little bit. He uses another illustration of a ship. I found this image of a Roman ship that James probably would have seen out in the Mediterranean Sea. And while we see the sails and we see the oars that powered the ship, there's something right there on the tail end, that rudder. And that is what steers the ship. It's little, but it controls the direction of which way the ship is going to go. And then the third example he uses is fire. Now, I don't know, maybe you like me enjoy a good campfire. Fire is really great. Keeps us warm, gives us light, cooks our food. And in a setting where it's under control, fire is a good thing. But as we're seeing on the news in Canada and in Spain and even out west, there are wildfires that are destroying wide swaths of woods. And some of that smoke, once again, is coming from Canada into our country and fouling some of our air. This kind of fire is destructive. And it's nothing that we want. But it is what happens when it gets out of control. And James makes a statement here about how difficult it is to control our tongues. And he says our tongues are like flames of fire. He says it is a whole world of wickedness corrupting the entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it's set on fire by hell itself. Which makes me want to ask this question. Does your tongue ever get you into trouble? You know, most people, when they think of this passage and they think about controlling their tongue, oftentimes they think about, oh, well, that means profanity. You know, I just shouldn't use swear words. But I think it goes much deeper than that. In fact, I saw a devotion recently by David Faust, who had been the president at Cincinnati Bible College. He's now on a staff of East 91st Street Christian Church up in Indianapolis. And he kind of fleshed this out a little bit in a way that I think really helped me get a grip on it. He said, sometimes we use unfiltered words. It's not just about profanity, but it's speaking without thinking first. Did you ever do that? Did you ever say something you wish you could have gotten back? That's why James said in chapter 1, we got to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. I also love this quote from one of our presidents, Abraham Lincoln. He said, "Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt." Unfiltered words can get us into trouble. Another category is unfulfilled words, promises that are not backed up with action. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, Solomon says, "When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to Him. It's better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it." And while that is certainly good counsel in our relationship to God, it's also good counsel in our relationship to others. Jesus put it like this, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." In the third category Dr. Faust listed was unnecessary words, saying too much. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, it says, "When words are many, sin is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise." So these are important things to remember as James is telling us about the danger of the tongue. Let's pick it up in verse 7. "People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble up with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring." Boy, spring water is really good. It's really fresh. It's a gift from God. But if you've ever been to the ocean, you don't want to drink that kind of water, do you? That doesn't taste good at all. But James says our mouths should be like a fresh spring that doesn't produce both blessings and curses. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus says this, "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart." What you say flows from what is in your heart. So what are you letting grow there? I heard somebody once explain it this way, thinking of our heart, not our physical heart, but the seat of our soul, who we are. Many people experience hurt, a hurt that breaks their heart. And if we don't let God heal the brokenness of our hearts, bad stuff can happen. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Hurt people hurt people"? It's often where it starts. I might not be very happy with what's going on in my life, but I'm going to make you join the pain. Things can get pretty evil. Things like name-calling and put-downs, slander and gossip, sarcasm and profanity. And if we let those things grow in our hearts, that's what's going to come out. That's why it's so important to let God heal whatever brokenness there may be. Jesus talked about it this way in Matthew 12, 34 and 37. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. Is that sobering or what? I'm going to say it, read this again. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Wow. God wants us to pay attention to what comes out of our mouth. Because other people are, but Jesus is saying there's something deeper going on. Because it's just not about empty words that you think you might be saying, but it reveals what's growing in your heart. So James is saying we have to grow up in our words. We have to be careful, little mouth, what we say. The tongue is a little thing, but it can destroy. And we have to be able to bridle our tongues. So James' challenge for us this week is to grow up in your words. I want you to reflect on things you've been saying to others who are in your life. Maybe a spouse, maybe kids or other family members, maybe friends and co-workers. I want you to reflect on what's been coming out of your mouth. And I want to challenge you to seek forgiveness from someone who may have been hurt by your words. So think about what you've been saying. If you have hurt somebody, seek forgiveness. And as James is saying throughout this book, when God tells you what you need to do, just do it. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we're all pretty good at shooting off our mouths. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't say when nobody's listening. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't say to people's faces. And sometimes we put it online. But Father, these words of Jesus are so convicting. By your words you will be justified, or by your words you'll be condemned. Help us, Lord, to learn to bridle our tongues. We know we can't do it by ourselves, but we thank you that you have given us the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, who gives us the power and strength to live the life that you want us to live. So help us, Lord, this week to be very mindful about what comes out of our mouths. Help us, Lord, to seek forgiveness where we need to ask for it, and help us to grow up in our words. Help us to guard our hearts so that there are no evil things growing there that are lurking and waiting to get out. But help us create a good treasury within our heart so that when our mouth speaks, it's from the overflow of the good things you've put in our lives. What a practical message James has brought to us today. Help us day by day to grow stronger so we can live it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response? Day by day I'm growing stronger. My trials turn to joy.